So as we begin to try to get our hearts and minds around this idea of what it means to be a true worshiper, I actually want us to think about experiences that we may have within our human relationships. And so I'm wondering if you can come up with a particular type of experience in your own life, and maybe this is something you've experienced once or sparingly, or maybe it's something that happens to you all the time, but have you ever connected with somebody in a particular moment, in a particular space, on a really deep level? Maybe you didn't need to say anything, but you just knew there was a connection happening between you and somebody else that is different or special than some of your others. Something happening in your heart, something deep in your soul. And so I've had these kind of experiences when, for instance, snuggling with one of my kids on the couch and just knowing that there is nothing like that relationship that I have with my children. I remember some of those early days when Angie and I finally started to develop a romantic relationship after being friends for a few years. And there was just something about sitting and holding hands. You didn't need to say anything, but there was something happening in that place between us. We could sense a connection, or at least I knew I did. Hopefully she did. She said yes, so I'm going to assume. But I've also experienced it doesn't have to be a family member for this sort of thing. And so I've been with friends, maybe somebody I hadn't seen in a while, and there's just a connection when you rekindle something that maybe has been dormant for months or even years, where we just know that there's a connection there. Am I talking about something that you have any experience with? Have you ever felt that before in your life? Again, I hope that you have been blessed enough that with many people in many situations, but it's not something that happens all the time. And if you're stretching to reach, I've had a lot of conversations with some of you about your grandkids, and so I know that you felt this kind of connection with somebody before. Jesus says in our scripture today, a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in the truth. It is when the deep places of who we are connect and encounter with the reality of who God is that we find ourselves worshiping in spirit and in the truth. The reality of God is spirit. So when this says worship God in spirit, it's significant that the S is capital. So we worship God. We worship who God is. In truth, when we get honest about who we are and where we are in life, what's really going on in our heads and in our hearts, when that meets the truth about what is going on in our lives, when that meets the reality of who God is, we are worshiping in spirit and in truth. And so we started by having me ask you to think about a deep connection you've had with another person, because I want to ground this amazing potential of what we are invited to in worship with something that you have had experience with, something that you can relate to, because you know, it can kind of be this maybe just heady kind of thing to think about what does it mean to be a true worshiper. But I really do believe it's connected to that sort of experience of being close with another person, maybe in a way that is beyond words, but we sense it as we are with them. And so in order to feel a connection like that with another person, there's something within us that we need to be vulnerable. If we're closed off and, you know, upset or pouting about something or distracted by other things in the world, we're not likely to have an experience of being connected on a heart or soul level with another person. So we need to find ourselves vulnerable. It's a space where we open up a deep part of ourselves and we let that bear in front of another person. Again, this isn't necessarily anything that happens with words. It's a space where we feel comfortable with who we are and letting who we are in that deep place make a connection with another. And if we are to be true worshipers, we must come before God in that way that is opened, that's vulnerable, that's looking to make a connection. If we think all church and worship is just kind of coming and having an experience with some music and maybe learning a little something that we would put in our minds about God, we're not coming opened and willing to really let the deep parts of who we are connect with God. And that's what God desires for us in our worship as true worshipers. What does it mean that we would worship the Father in spirit and in truth as true worshipers? Well, first, I think we need to ask ourselves the question, do we desire to be true worshipers? Is this something that's important to us? You know, is church can be about a lot of good things, and a lot of it's good. Are we coming to make connection with other people? Are we hoping to learn? Are we maybe kind of checking off a list to say, well, we want to make sure God has a place, and so if we come and worship for an hour or a little bit more on Sunday morning, then that's the place. And, you know, there's a lot of good in those sort of motivations in place, but do we desire to be true worshipers when we gather in this place? Are we truly looking to make a deeper connection with who we are, with the God of the universe? I don't know if there's any other pursuit as important for this after we have come to welcome Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our life than figuring out what this means for us to be those who would worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit is telling us something about who God is and how God wants to relate to us in worship. In truth is telling us something about ourselves. And so this idea about in truth, something about ourselves, how might we be vulnerable before God? Well, if we read this all of chapter 4 that came before we read what we did today, we would know that this is about the woman at the well. And so the woman at the well is having this conversation with Jesus, and she seems to have a connection that I think shows us what it might look like to worship in truth, but also how we can derail that at times. This woman knows who she is, and so she has come to the well at a time of the day where she doesn't think anybody else is going to be there, because in knowing who she is, she's embarrassed about what that means in her connection with others. She's a Samaritan woman. And as she meets Jesus there that day, who is a Jewish male, she knows that Samaritans and Jews don't mix. She knows that a woman and a man in a public setting that who don't know each other, they shouldn't be talking. And yet, here they are having this connection at the well that day. But there's a limit. As they are talking, Jesus kind of gets into her business a little bit. And so he invites her, you know, do you want to bring back your husband and we can continue having this conversation? Maybe he knows that she's feeling a little vulnerable and wants to continue the connection, but in a way that she'd be more comfortable with. And she gets honest and vulnerable there and admits, well, I don't have a husband. And that's where Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband because you've had 5, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And she does what we often do when we begin to get vulnerable before God or somebody else. She changes the topic really quick. She says, well, hey, the Jewish people think you should worship in Jerusalem, and yet our people want to worship here. You know, what's the deal with that? You know, real quick, let's not talk about myself anymore, Jesus. Let's talk about this other. And that's where the scripture finds us. So Jesus begins to talk about true worshipers, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And I often encourage the idea as we start in worship, and even did so today, that a reminder that we come to this place in the midst of our lives. And God doesn't ask us, well, forget who we really are any other time, and we need to pretend to be a Christian that is better than who we are any other place in our lives when we walk in these doors. That's not what God asks of us. And if we put on a mask like that, if we try to pretend we are somebody within these walls that we aren't as we live lives outside of here, we will never worship in truth. If we begin to get close to a place of vulnerability, we're going to throw up defenses. We're going to change the topic. We're going to let God know that, no, we're not going to get close to that place in my life. We have to be vulnerable before God in order to worship in truth. So what's your truth today? What's your truth every time that you gather to worship? It's going to be different. It's not always going to be the same. And when truth is here, this isn't about just what we believe. Now, certainly that's a whole different topic. You know, what do we believe to be true? No, that's not what this is about. This is about in truth. Who are we? What are we walking through? And so again, what is your truth today? Maybe you found yourself saying, well, I miss Barry. Maybe you find yourself saying, school was just not so good this week. Maybe your truth is around something that's going on in work or struggles you're having within your family. But sometimes our truth isn't always the bad stuff where we need help. Sometimes our truth is it actually was a great week at school or at work. And we can come and we can be thankful and joyful for what God is doing in the midst of that. So we come in truth. Who are you? What's going on? And I hope you can make some space, whether that's before you come to worship or during prayer time or even as you sit and wait for the service to start. Maybe sometimes as we try to help give practical examples during the sermon, you like to think about somebody else's life or somebody else's situation. No, when we worship in truth, we get vulnerable about who we are and what's going on. So what's your truth today? I know we don't have a lot of hand raisers as Methodists. Maybe it even makes you uncomfortable when you see the pastor up there raising his hand. But I just want to share with you a little bit about why I raise my hands in worship, because it's connected to this idea of worshiping in spirit and in truth. Oftentimes for me, when I raise my hand in worship, it's a response to singing something about how great God is. And so I want to let God know, you know, I raise you up. I recognize that you are amazing beyond what I can know or experience. But in addition to that, I'm also communicating something within my heart that says, God, I'm open to receiving more of you because of that greatness, but also because I recognize that I'm in need, that I'm not great, that I am so different from you. And so I'm trying to let myself be vulnerable before God and saying, I am ready to receive what you may have for me. And so it's a way to outwardly express the inner desire that I have to connect and to be vulnerable to the God who is spirit and is right here with us. In truth, we can come to worship with a sense of vulnerability, which is an openness to let God connect with the deep parts of who we are and what is going on inside of us. But again, that has to be a decision that we've made. Sometimes God will slide past our defenses and we'll find ourselves vulnerable and, we got to make sure that doesn't happen again. Let's change the topic. Let's daydream about something else. What do I need at Wegmans this week? But when we make that decision, God, I'm going to worship you in truth, we don't have to pretend that we're something we're not. We don't have to pretend we believe or have a bigger faith than we do, because God welcomes us as we are. So true worshipers worship in spirit, capital S, and in truth, lowercase, because again, it's the truth of who we are, not the bigger truth about God and in Scripture. No, it's the truth about where we really are. But what about the spirit part? Again, capital S, spirit, the Holy Spirit. It tells us that not only God is spirit, but it's telling us something about who in what God is and desires to be in our lives. And so first off, this is the God of the universe, the one who has created everything, who knows everything. Science tells us that the universe continues to expand, that the size, I mean, I can't even fathom the distance between us and the sun. And the universe is infinitely bigger than our solar system. And so the God who made all of that cares about me, this person who will live a handful of decades, maybe a century on this planet. And the God who thought of all of that and spoke it into existence by word, he wants to be known and to interact with me, with you. I mean, do we really have any sense for how amazing that is? That God would want anything to do with us as his creation, that we aren't just another one of these little lumps that are floating around something else in the universe, that as we spin on this earth for however many days and years we are blessed with, the God who made this all wants to know us. This God desires to be in a relationship with us, where we are truthful and realistic. So he doesn't even say, well, pretend to be better than you are. No, he wants us to be truthful and still cares enough to be relational with us, even as we are true. God holds all of this, including the power to end it all in the snap of a finger if he wanted. And he still wants to be in relationship with little old you and little old me. He wants us to be his beloved child. Is that a truth that you ever let sink in to your life? God doesn't need us for anything. God's not just this little add-on that we put in our lives because we walk into the doors of a church once a week. This is the God of the universe who is bigger than that universe, who doesn't need us, but he wants us. He has made all of this that we might have the choice. And this is another amazing thing. He doesn't make us love him. He gives us the choice if we will love him. So we are invited to have a relationship with a holy God. That's absolutely amazing. God is spirit. So not only is the fact of who God is, it's amazing that he would want to be in relationship with us, but God is spirit. God is right here. We talked last week about the way that the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. And so God is right here as we worship. Psalm 139 talks about the many ways that we might think we could hide or flee from God's presence, but that it's just not possible to hide from the Spirit of God. And so I think we need to be open not only about who we are as we come to worship, but I really believe that as each of us come as an individual in the context of worship every week, that this God of the universe has something specific for each of us to help us connect with the Spirit. Who is God? What is it that God wants us to connect with deeply today? And I don't think that always comes in the same way. Maybe it's in the words of a hymn that really get past some of your defenses and helps you to be vulnerable and opens your eyes to something. Maybe it's part of the scripture that maybe doesn't even get unpacked within the sermon, and yet you keep going back to, well, what about this verse? That's God speaking to you. Maybe it's an encounter during our time of prayer. Maybe it's as you come forward for communion. Maybe it's something that gets said during the sermon. Jesus There's something about Jesus' power or God's love or his holiness. There's always something that maybe God is either trying to remind us of because we need that particular truth and we need God's presence in that way in that week. So sometimes it's just a reaffirmation of something that we already have experienced or know about God, and sometimes it's something completely brand new. And God might blow your mind, get into your heart in something deep and connect. God is spirit. God is here. God is speaking. Worship is not an escape from trouble. When we worship in spirit and in truth, it's not saying, well, things are so bad over here, I'm going to come and for just this little bit of time, I'm going to forget about everything else. That is not what worshiping in spirit and truth is about. So worship is not an escape from our trouble, but it is a reorientation. It reminds us that God is bigger than even the biggest things we face. And the more deeply we worship in spirit, we are reminded once again of just how big God is. In truth, when we can open ourselves and be vulnerable, we are more likely to find that aspect of God's spirit that he wants to connect with you on any given Sunday or any time we gather for worship. Again, God has something specific for each of us. And if you're waiting for the pastor to be clever enough in the sermon to make sure you get that every week, you may be waiting a while. The responsibility is on each of us to come, to be vulnerable, to be open, to expect that this God who is spirit has something for you. And maybe because of those that are leading in worship, but maybe sometimes even in spite of those who are leading in worship, God still has something for you when you gather in his name with an openness about who you are and who God is. We're working through this series on our vision statement, and so far we're kind of at this point. United in Christ, we are led by the Spirit and called to worship. In this part of the vision statement that we look at today and over these next couple weeks is really inviting us to pay attention to who Jesus is wanting us to become as we work together with him, who Jesus wants us to become as individuals, and then how we become that together as people. And so we might ask the question, well, we can worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. We don't necessarily need others. This woman at the well was one-on-one with Jesus. However, it's interesting, if we were to continue reading, we would find that as her heart really connected with him, her first inclination was to go and tell others about this God that she had encountered and met. So it's not just about what we do one-on-one. But why do we come together in worship with others? Again, if worship isn't about escaping our lives and the world and the problems around us, but it's about a reorientation, I believe that God invites us to worship with others for a similar reason, that we might have perspective, that we might either be able to receive or give encouragement. And so maybe we come to worship and the thing that God has for us on that day is to reach out and to touch somebody else's life, to minister to them. That won't leave us unaffected. Maybe we need to see life from somebody else's perspective and somebody else's eyes. And so maybe as we share something that we're wrestling with, somebody has something to share that really encourages us and helps us to see it differently. Or maybe as somebody else shares, we begin to realize, oh goodness, that thing that really has been stressing me out and worried isn't that big a deal. And so we get a different perspective as we lose ourselves a little bit in coming alongside of somebody else. Often when we connect in ministry, and that's what ministry is, when we see a need and in that we use what we have to help meet that need, or vice versa, somebody else sees a need in us and they use what they have to meet our need, that's ministry. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So even way back when the church is just starting and the New Testament is getting written, apparently Christians were figuring out other things to do except gather together and worship on the Sabbath. So it's not a new temptation for us today. But it goes on, let us not give up meeting together, but encourage each other all the more. And so as we come and worship in spirit and in truth, we need to do that together. For the perspective that it might give us, for the way that God might be reaching out through us or to us with the people that we meet here. In the same way that the God of the universe does not force us to love Him, He will not force you to be a true worshiper. Is there a desire in your heart to be a true worshiper of the Father? If so, we need to grow in this idea of what does it mean to worship in spirit and in the truth. I encourage you, if you haven't been a part of one of the small groups for the Vision Bound series, this week in particular we'll give some context for how do we prepare ourselves? How is it that we come to worship? How do we take what God has done in our lives and in our hearts in this time, and how do we let that overflow into our life as we get to Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday? And so I would encourage you to find that if you haven't already been doing that this week. But more than anything, my heart for you today is that you might have a greater desire or a brand new desire to be a true worshiper, to come before the Lord and to be vulnerable and to meet Him in all of His power and in all of His grace and all of who He is. And this table reminds us that we serve an amazing God who desires, in the midst of all that God is up to within the universe, to meet with us in a way that is so close that we would take Him into our very bodies. Taking this bread and juice into our stomachs is a reminder that God wants to be in our very being, as close as our very hearts. So let us come to this table vulnerable, willing, looking to encounter the God who, on the night in which He was about